Pinkerton could not have been more wrong. Lincoln was becoming increasingly fed up with McClellan, but he knew Pinkerton would carry back to the general that the president was in his corner. With practically no notice, Lincoln arrived at McClellan's camp along Antietam Creek on October 1st to review his troops and privately prod the general to start moving. Pinkerton squired the president around the battlefield and posed for a photograph with him in front of the detective's tent. Lincoln took a train back to Washington on October 4th, believing he had McClellan's promise to pursue Lee's army into Virginia. Pinkerton hopped aboard to continue his spying on the president. "There is no doubt in my mind but that he now appreciates your worth," Pinkerton wrote McClellan. "Lincoln feels disposed to give you all you want." Again, it was faulty political intelligence, and Pinkerton could have known he was being played for a sucker if he had read the newspapers carefully. The day after the train trip, John Hay had penned an anonymous article in a Midwest paper, likely cleared by Lincoln since it reflected his sentiments, that stated sarcastically that if McClellan had 1 million men, he would claim he could not act unless he had just another regiment. Finally, on October 26th, after almost 6 weeks of stalling at Antietam, McClellan's army of 100,000 began crossing the Potomac, which took 9 long days. He spent the time trading angry letters with Washington, blaming the administration for failing to support his army, and continuing to keep the White House in the dark over what he planned to do with his force besides move it slowly south. He appeared to Lincoln to be wandering aimlessly, with no clear idea where the enemy was or of its plans, which was pretty close to being the case. McClellan's snail's pace gave Lee plenty of time to place Longstreet's corps between Richmond and the Yankees, while Jackson's corps remained in the Shenandoah Valley on the Union flank. Lincoln had enough. On November 5th, after midterm elections left Republicans still in control of Congress, he ordered Halleck to fire McClellan. Fearing McClellan might launch a military uprising, Stanton carefully engineered the transition to the new Army of the Potomac commander, Ambrose E. Burnside, the head of McClellan's Ninth Corps, who had impressed Lincoln with his North Carolina operations before joining McClellan, and whose bushy mutton chops supposedly fathered the term sideburns. McClellan, however, accepted the dismissal gracefully, basking in the rousing cheers thousands of his men gave him when he departed. For several weeks, Stanton still remained suspicious that the general might lead a coup. McClellan believed government agents were following him and opening his mail, so he began sending telegrams to friends in code. The New York Herald reported that the agents shadowing McClellan were Pinkerton's men. McClellan wrote the detective that he knew the story was false. "I have never doubted your friendship for me," the general said.